thought we'd look over in James. You know, I've mentioned before, and it was mentioned to me, and it's always stuck with me. And I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you can read through James and go all the way through it, turn around and go through it again. And of course, you can say that, I guess, about any place in the Bible. What she meant, though, was daily living for the church and the church member. She says, well, she'd say, in her opinion, that was one of the best books as far as just a help to us every day. And I've got all kinds of notes in here from preachers over the years and things I've written down, and most of them apply exactly what she said. So we'll look in chapter 5, just a few verses this morning, and just look at our, I guess, patience in affliction, patience in hope, patience that we have while we have faith, and just things going on in this world. You know, I just ran across it. I had an old newspaper article. I don't know why I had it from 2002 or something. I had it stuck just in a folder. It was from the New York Times. I don't even know why I printed it off. I didn't even highlight anything, but it was 3 or 4 pages, and I'd just read through it, and it reads a whole lot like today. Not much has changed. And I thought about that. I thought I could change the date on it, slide it out there, and a lot of people would think that's a similar what everything's going on today. Of course, some might get fooled and say, well, it wasn't that quite bad as it is now, so it had to be an old paper. But anyway, we'll read verses 7 through, let me see here. Well, we'll just read the whole chapter out from verse number 7, James chapter 5. So be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And that's finishing out James chapter 5. We'll spend most of our time this morning, and Lord willing, around verses 7 through about verses 15, 16. And then we'll be over in Romans just a little, but that's it. And like I said, I say this every Sunday, I know, but there'll be one of the Sundays I'll say it that we probably will get finished early, so I'll try not to hold you too long again today. We've got several announcements coming up during the church, prior to church, and I want to allow time for that and get some things together. I don't want to miss any of those. Some people's giving me some. And so I say that, and I end up writing them all down, sticking them in my pocket. And so I'll try to be mindful of that today as we go through this and allow plenty of time. All right, if we'll look, again, all through James, of course, there's different places here we can look about, consideration for one another, brothers and sisters in Christ. We can talk about worldliness and pride. Of course, we can talk about that old tongue that we've got and hard to get a hold of sometimes. We can talk about faith in more than one place, and that's really what we're going to look at here in chapter 5. If you look at verse number 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman. And you know, when you think about a husbandman, you know, I think about someone's farmer, or they care for the land, or they care for the fruit, the vineyard, maybe the crops, or even if you just got a little garden. And as you read that, it said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, as we the caretaker, so to speak, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." And of course, that's referring to us. And it said, "The Lord's patient; He waits for us." And you know, I got thinking about that. And Brother Wayne in his garden, and he always brings us stuff and cucumbers and peppers. And if any of you's ever been a benefit of that before. And you've heard Wayne through the summer and said, "Well, we've got the early rain, as it says here, and sometimes, as you'll see, and the latter rain." And I've heard since I was a boy, just in conversation, hearing others talk, and men and women, when I was growing up, and be at church or be here. And again, I've heard Brother Wayne say it, and others said, "Well, if we don't get that some rain, everything's going to burn up. It's going to burn up in the fields." And see, that early rain, that lets that seed produce, lets it kind of clear the ground, so to speak. Ooh, I did that last week. I'm going to have to remember to keep my head back. So the early rain allows the seed to break the ground. Get back my train of thought. The latter rain allows it to mature. I know, and I've told you this before, you know, years ago, how we made money in the summer, of course, we had a lot of watermelon farms, and one in particular was pretty good size. And I was good friends with the boy that his granddad had one. I forget how many acres it was, but we'd load watermelon for many days. And I remember him. His name was Weldon, Weldon. Chandler was his last name. And we'd load up watermelons, I mean, just by the truckload. And I remember his comment sometimes, especially with watermelon, you'd want that early rain for seed to break the ground, but that latter rain was important to him too. Now, he wanted them to cure, so he wanted it to get dry so he could get in the fields. But at the same time, he didn't want his watermelon to be dry, so to speak, or not ripen to where they should be. So think about that as far as Christians when we're saved. That's kind of like the seed's been planted, and we open up or we break ground and we're saved. But there's a time for maturing as well. And we think about crops and, you know, tomatoes and cucumbers, and I mentioned watermelons, how long they've been in the ground. They all have a span of time. Well, the Lord's patient with us, because if He wasn't, just think about, especially I think about where I'd be as a Christian. He wasn't patient with you once you're saved. If He expected things by a certain date, what I mean by that, oh, you've got to be at this point by this date, or, you know, milestones, I guess, and we all should have milestones as a Christian, I guess, in our life as we grow and mature, and that doesn't necessarily mean as age. You could be a young Christian and grow and mature, but thank the Lord for that, and that's what it means here, when it's and it's in each one of our lives. As it says, He received the early and latter rain. In other words, the early rain, we spring forth, we're saved, and the mature rain, or the latter rain, makes us mature. We tend to grow in Christ. You know, we talk about this, the milk, sincere milk of the Word, and we talk about our growth, and we need meat, not milk. We talk about our babies, you know. We give them milk initially, and then later on want to feed them from the table. You know, I had to keep an eye on my father-in-law. You know, all the kids, I mean, they couldn't even sit up. You'd have to hold their head up. They'd be so small, and he'd be trying to give them green beans. And, you know, and I guess that's kind of how he grew up, and some do that, and that's fine. I remember Kim and I, we'd say, no, here's our green beans, you know, and he'd open up that little jar, and it'd be all ground up and smell awful, and I think, no wonder the kids don't want to eat green beans now, because that's what thought a green bean was, and sweet potatoes and those things. But you needed those foods as a child or as a baby. Then you mature, you grow, you get on the meat. And that's what that's talking about there. But thank the Lord that He is patient with us. Because again, you know, at work you have, I know we do, we have different stages or places they expect you to be by years of service, things you're supposed to do. Just think if the Lord was that way. And He says, well, we'll get rid of you if you've not reached that by a certain point. And so that's not what it's saying here. It's saying be patient, therefore. In other words, patient even in our affliction, because that's the Lord working on us. In some cases, that's for us to grow. And said, "Brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth." Again, we're precious. See, that's a blessing there too. We're called precious here, James says. "Precious fruit of the earth, hath long patient for it, to receive the early and the latter rain." That'd be like Wayne getting out there and plowing up his tomatoes. He's, "Well, they're not coming in fast enough. I think I'm just going to plow them up." And Carol might tell him, say, "Well, you can't put any more in the ground because it's July or August. And at least in this area, you know, the frost would get them before they mature." And he'd say, "Well, I'll just wait till next year. I'll get another crop." You see, that's not what Wayne does. He's patient. Even sometimes he takes the water hose, I'm sure, himself, or a little bit of water, and he tries to go down and keep them alive, so to speak, keep them going. Water is fruit, his plants. So he may get something from them later in the year. And the Lord does us that way, too. And we think about sometimes we have troubles in our life. But we also need to rejoice, though, in times, too, of rejoicing. And so keep that in mind. Verse number 8, "Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And said, he's telling us to be patient. "Be ye also patient." Establish ourselves. And we do that by prayer and by reading the Word of God and by fellowship and coming to church with each other. And I know you guys know that. This is a Sunday school class we think of sometimes that had a few miles behind us. Not all of us, but some have and have had some experiences in life. You know, I was in a hardware store yesterday, and I'm trying to remember what it said. A fella gave me a wheelchair, and I had to get some pieces for it. I'm kind of putting it together, and it's kind of funny. I get tickled. I got that old truck out in the garage, and I'm piddling with it, and then I got my old wheelchair next to it. And so I got one apart and the other one. I told him, I said, "I can't get neither one of them. The truck, I can't drive it right now." And said, "That wheelchair, I got the wheels off it, and I can't put them back on. I get those bolts." But I don't tell you what the neighbors think. You drive down the road, and that's what you see. I'll have to get my water hose and wash bucket out and wash them both today, I guess, and armor all the tires. But anyway, what I was getting to is what I'd seen was getting off track there was when I was getting those parts yesterday. What did that little sign say? It said something about experience. It said, poor judgment usually results in good experience. And I thought about that. And lifelong experience, if something like that. And I thought, you know, he put it up there to be funny, but I thought, you know, sometimes there's some truth in that. You know, sometimes we rush into things without prayer and supplication, without seeking the Lord's will, and we end up with a good experience. But it's from our poor judgment. And you're able to share that with others. You know, you've heard people tell you before, maybe you've all getting someone's advice, and then their comment would be, "Well, I tried that one time." Or, "This is what happened to us as a family." Or, "This is what we said, this is what we did, and it didn't work out the way you thought." And so you're passing that along. And I know sometimes, even with our kids, I try to say that, and it's hard for them to realize that. I'd say, "You know, I've been down that road before. I've done that. This is what I would do, but you do what you want to do. But it's just from my experience." And it's a result of maybe poor judgment or bad judgment on my part. And so as it says here, it says, "Be ye patient." And that's what you want to tell your kids or others that ask you for advice, is sometimes just be patient, just wait. I know Brother Darius Horn did a preaching one time on God's waiting room. I think me and Mr. Grizzle was there at that message. It was in a revival or something. I remember riding with him to that. I don't remember which night really it was on or how we got there. It seemed like it was a revival or something. And I remember God's waiting room. So waiting on God. And said, "Be ye patient." And he was talking about as God takes us home and our time here on earth and what God had you to do. And some go home sooner than others. And some blessed with many years here. And so be ye patient. And he said, "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." And you said, "Well, wait a second. Earlier you said that," remember I referred to the lady. He said, "Boy, you can start at James, go through one end, the other, and go back and read it." And said, "It gives you advice for the day." Well, if she says that, and I read this, and I thought about this as I was reading that, I said, well, it says, "For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So if it says, "Establish your hearts," what do we need to establish ourselves? As I flip back through James, just a chapter or two over, James tells us how to establish ourselves as you read through chapters 1, 2, and 3. But as you come up in chapter number 4, verse number 6, just one page over for me, and you can stay right where you're at, and I'll read it to you, but right there in James, he tells us how to establish ourselves. He said, "But it giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In verse number 7 is what I was getting to. We're going to look at submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So submit, resist, and draw. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So that's how we establish ourselves, establish our hearts. Remember, Solomon told us to guard our hearts, protect it. A lot of times we'll say and request prayer for build a hedge around our children or family or ones that are sick or going through maybe a rough time, and just, you know, maybe the devil won't get in their mind, and, you know, sometimes that can just trouble you itself. And, you know, we think about our hearts, you know, that's really what we need to have, that hedge built up around. In other words, we need to guard that heart, not let Satan get in. You remember, we mentioned before, if you recall, where we talked about Satan's had thousands of years to study man and women's ways and how to get to each person. And he knows what troubles you or maybe bother you, not someone else, as we see. So, again, submit. I think, what was it? Submit, draw, and humble yourselves. Draw nigh to God. You remember Brother Eddie Smith had that message I've mentioned before. He was talking about stand. And he used one of the teenagers as an example about how closer he got to God, he moved closer to him. So what he did is he stood up here and pretended to be the Word of God, and as closer he grew to the teenager, he had the teenager step one step closer to him, vice versa. And eventually they were standing right in front of each other. He said, that's what we need, to draw nigh to God. I remember the message that he had, that it was a Sunday night, he had that. Grudge not one against another, verse number 9. Brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, that means listen, that means pay attention, that means wait a second, look, behold, the judge standeth before the door. So grudge not, don't grumble. You know, that's easy for us to do sometimes, especially now. You know, you think, boy, I bet Brian never grumbles. I grumble a lot. You can ask him. I got out of bed yesterday morning, and that's the first thing she said to me was, grouchy this morning. That might be it. Well, thank you. So that was just Kim. It wasn't me. And I'd already been up and run a few errands or something, and she came out, and I was getting out of the van, she said something. I said, well, I went to get a sausage biscuit or something. I forget what it was. She said, grouchy. And I thought, should have got two. That's the problem. But if I'd have got one, oh, no, I don't want one. But I thought that's the issue. But I say that, grudge not. And I'm just using that, just kidding with y'all. But grudge not. We don't need to grumble. It's hard not to, though, sometimes. Hard not to complain. Not one against another, but brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. And again, here in James, we find direction. I said, well, that's going to be hard to do. How do we not do that? If you go over James 2, verse 8. Well, verse number 7, we'll get into verse number 8. I always like to read the one before. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Goes back to that heart again that we heard talked about up here, and we heard from James. Establish your hearts. Part of that, and I'm saying protect and guard your hearts. Also have a loving, caring heart for others. That's right. He says your neighbor. That means just not your neighbor right next door. That means all of us, and ones that are saved and lost. Sometimes it's hard to love someone who doesn't like you. It is. Or to pray for them. That's right. We're all human. You think about that. You know, and you usually tend to congregate and hang around if you're at work or here, not here at church, but if you're at work, or I was going to say here, down here at, if you run into somebody at the store or somebody you know well enough to get along with, you'll stop and pause a few moments. You know, maybe how are you doing? How's the family? That kind of thing. But we need to have that love for others as well. I know this week I was getting in the van. I forget where I was at, and I was kind of startled, taken back, a fella come up out of nowhere, and he said, "Oh, you've been hurt." That's what he told me. And I said, no, I'm doing fine." "Oh, is this your van?" And I said, "Yes, it is." And of course, you know, my radar is up then, you know, because he said, "Oh, are your doors already unlocked?" He said, "I can get the doors for you." And I said, "Yeah, there." You know, I don't know what I was going to say. Kim said, "Oh, you shouldn't have told him." I said, "Well, I was on those crutches." And I said, "Well, I wasn't just going to walk around the parking lot. Hey, you know, I can't find my car," is what I should have said. You go on. But anyway, still, the kindness he had. After I got talking to him, he was just being kind-hearted. He was just making sure I could get to the car okay. And I guess the way he approached me was, "Oh, you've been hurt." But initially, you know, you pull back from that. And we have to be cautious in these days. I'm not telling you to go out and wrap your arms around everybody. You have to be. I tell my girls that. I tell Luis that too, but he's a big old fella. It'd be hard to get a hold of him, drag him anywhere. But, you know, you think about that more so sometimes with young ladies than you do with men, but everybody's got to be careful. I mean, I remember living in Houston. I told you they gave Kim advice about that MS-13 gang and, you know, where not to go and where to go and parts of the city to stay out of. And I think about that, but we still should have a love even for them. Pray for them. You might not know them, but, you know, pray for others that are lost. And they need our prayers. We think about Congress and what's going on. And, you know, I pulled that paper I told you about, and I'm thinking back this morning. A lot of things in there were political, points, so to speak. At that time, it's President Bush in office, and a lot of things toward him. And of course, you still see that today. If it's toward Trump or if it was four years ago, it'd be toward Obama. You know, it just depends on who's in and who's in Congress. That's just something you're always going to have in politics, and it seems to get worse and worse as we go. So as Christians, we need to have that love in our heart for one another. There was one other place, and just a verse chapter over, if I recall, in James. I'll just read this to you. Oh, it goes right back to it. It's funny, I mentioned in politics and did not mean to read this next, but out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either your vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And we'll get in a second, we'll look at our letter yea be yea and our nay be nay. In other words, speak truthfully. Be honest. And again, it goes right back to what we were told in chapter 4, said, "Smit yourselves, draw nigh, humble yourselves," is what James tells us. As far as getting that worldliness and pride, setting it aside and just humbling ourselves and being patient as we mature. Let's go on as we look here. Verse number 10, I keep looking up because I'm trying to use my glasses as bifocals, and I can see out one side, not the other. So, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Most of you can quote this, but I'll go over and read it for you here. As an example, he says. So I'll give you examples this morning. Let's see. Here we go. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. Talking about the prophets. And embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had the opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So see, as we're maturing, as we're growing in the Lord, as he's working on us, talk about that potter and that clay, we need to be mindful of these things, what's going on. And you know, and we've mentioned before, and we heard Preacher Jack here say before, and I've mentioned more than once, and Pastor Rick has mentioned it too. You know, we live at one of the times this nation or in the world that you can look back and you see a lot of prophecy fulfilled, and you know things are occurring. I talked about that paper; how it's just gotten worse, and we've mentioned before That's the way it's supposed to be. God told us things would get worse. Now, I expect a lot of things to get better. It's supposed to go worse. And you see that happening. We pray that it does, but it does. Because we were told, you know, I've told you before, sorcery means pharmaceuticals. And that always puzzled me to about the last 10 or 12 years. And I always think, now, how in the world is pharmaceutical? And to talk about that's what it's, if you translate that over in the New Testament, it's sorcery is pharmaceuticals. I think, well, or drugs, you know, and I think, you know, you think about, I think about hard drugs, you know, or all of them are, but I mean, I think about street names like heroin, cocaine, that kind of stuff. I could always see, but I thought, now, how's the pharmaceutical industry? How's that going to play into that? Well, now, you can pick up the paper about every day, and there's a drug company that's getting sued for advertising that might get people hooked on certain things, or, you know, it's everywhere now. That's just what I'm saying. And it's manufactured medications now. It's not things people are just making in their backyard. So as we look and see, times continue to progress on, just as God said they would. But as we look here, we need to be excited. We need to be joyful. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We need to be looking into their scripture and staying and praying each day. So be not they desire a better country that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, then in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And as you go through and you read about the rest of those, as Jacob and Joseph and Moses, you continue to read. And I know we read and look at that a lot, but I think that's an encouragement for us. The Word of God is here for us to train us and to teach us and encourage us and find the answers to our life and problems that we may face each and every day. The answers are there. Remember, as we'll read here, as we did, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. In other words, these we read about, they had some of the same problems that we face today. Yeah, we're 2018, but still, man still man, woman still woman, we still face a lot of the same challenges that we did then. Just a few more places and we'll be done. Said, behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And as you think about patience, you think of Job. Maggie was watching a little program on television this week, and I guess it was kids trying to answer questions or adults trying to answer. I guess it was adults trying to answer questions, Bible questions. I don't know what she had on, but anyways, they were answering them. So she was seeing how many she knew. She called me in there, and she's, you know, they were going through them, and she said, I think I've got as many rights, she said, as those people there. And I said, well, what are they up to? And she said, oh, they're up to $25,000 or something. It was not money they got. They gave it to a charity or something, or maybe their church. I can't remember what it was. Like I said, I should have looked and seen when she got into it at. But anyway, one of the next questions, it was read something from Job, and it was talking about patience. It said, you know, what person from the Bible would have said this? And of course, she popped right up and said, Job. And, of course, that was right. And I said, well, that's good. I said, you're getting those. Of course, you know, the clock was ticking on the TV. You know, they still hadn't got it. You know, she and I was talking. It was, you know, and she said, well, I need to get on there, don't I? And I said, yeah. I said, you do. She said, you get on there and get us some money. She said, well, I'd have to put the church down. That's where the money would go. And I said, oh, and that's how I remember that now. Because I asked her, I said, they don't get it, do they? She said, no, it goes to the church or youth group or something. And so, but I thought about that as I'd been reading this and studying. You think about patience. A lot of people think of Job, the patience of Job and what he went through and the trials in his life. And Paul had something to say here while I think about that over in Romans. I laid some notes up here and I haven't even looked at them. So I hope I'm still on my time as I was this morning. I'm just going with what the Lord's laying on my heart this morning. This was in Romans 5:12. I think that's it. Let me read that right here again. Let's see. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. I said 5:12, but it's not going to be tender mercy. No. It's verse number 3. Verse number 3. Let me go back. And not only in Romans chapter 5, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. That goes back, I didn't even think about that earlier when I mentioned that. I'd read that on the wall about sometimes about our maybe a bad judgment or bad decision we may make results in experience for us. We remember that. And I was going to say there too, my mother, and I've said this to you before, and it comes to my mind quite a bit, and I tell this to my kids and they just kind of shake their head. I'd say my mom used to tell us that a bought experience or a purchased, purchased problem or a bought problem is a good experience. And what she would say, not you didn't pay cash for it, but you gave something of yourself. It cost you something, and you'll remember it. And she'd always shake her head. We'd get in trouble with something or make a decision. But usually me and Chad, we'd get in trouble over something and I'd be at school or somewhere. And of course, back then, they'd paddle you. They'd take you. I had one teacher, and he'd paddle you in front of the whole class. That's one class I tried not to get paddled in. Didn't matter if he was boys or girls. He'd say, the state says I need 25 witnesses. And so I got 25, or I need a witness, and I got 25. And I remember that. And we'd tell our mom, or they'd always send a note home or call or something, say, they've got paddled, or my brother hit somebody on a school bus with a mailbox, lunchbox. What I was about to say, one time he passed the school bus on his little mini trail and he hit the mailbox and ran off the road and took out three or four mailboxes, and the school bus had to stop until somebody got there to get him. And anyway, of course, my mom got called about that too. But in other words, those were experiences. They cost us something. Now, in both those cases, they cost he and I something physically. And they cost him his motorcycle, I guess, as soon as my dad heard about it. But they cost us something. And, we still remember those. And he would laugh about that day and still remember that. And he would tell kids, don't pass the school bus on your motorcycle. And if you do, don't turn around and wave at everybody. And he wasn't like 9 years old when he did it. And that's a side note, but another experience he had, he ran a car in a ditch one time. Maggie said, how'd he get the car in a ditch? And I said, well, he was driving around and had his friends in the car. And Maggie said, well, didn't he have a driver's license? I said, no, he was only 12. And Maggie said, that means I'd be driving in 2 years. I said, yeah, I should have told you that one, I don't guess. But Jesse, I'd have to worry about driving at 12, but Maggie, she wouldn't do that. But now Jesse, she would have, and Louise probably would have too. But anyway, let's move on. Hopefully from those little side notes there, you can remember that what he's trying to tell us here, I think Paul is in Romans, that experiences are sometimes going to work patience and experience hope. And hope makes us not ashamed. Because, see, we get right back to the love. I mean, you look over in John, you look here in James, you read chapter 1, here in Romans, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you go back and you look and you read that and you think about what James is trying to tell us here. As we look and read and say, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. But of all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be nay and your nay, nay. Yes, ye fall into condemnation. In other words, let's be truthful, be honest. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. In other words, there's a firm, there's a solid belief in the things of God and in prayer. And I'm going to look one more place here and we'll be done. Looks like time's starting to get away from me. But if you go over to James, one other place here. As I read that, it made me think, James chapter 3. See, think about James chapter 5. We don't write letters anymore. I guess some do. Occasionally we get a letter. I remember when I was in the hospital, I got texts and phone calls and appreciated all those. And I appreciated the letters, too, and the cards. And people would write notes and tell me stories. And it kind of gives you a summary when they do that of what's been going on. And, sometimes people do that at Christmas time. They'll send a Christmas card, and in the card they'll write a little note. Or they'll put a letter in. And and they'll start telling you, you know, about what's happened through the year. It's a summary. And James, in chapter 5, especially when you start at verse 7, he summarizes James chapter 1 through chapter 4. So think about James as we wrapped up here, and I guess I should have mentioned that at the beginning. That's kind of how I thought about it. He's written a letter, and he has, to the church, or to us, now, as we read it. And he's summarizing our lives and what we need to do and what we have in God and our faith and in prayer life and what we have. So as we look here, we'll go back to James chapter 3. This would have been like in the body of the letter. As we look and read, I think it says, any sick among you, let him go back. Here we go. Verse number 11, I'm sorry, James chapter... chapter 3, verse number 13. It'd be like trying to find something in a letter. That's what I'm doing. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show of good conversation his works with the meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, there's that heart again. Glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. So you know that peace in your heart if you've been saved. You know that when it, you know the difference. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown. Just like we talked about earlier, when you look in chapter 5, and the husbandman, remember, sowing those seeds and immature. For the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And that's finished in reading there in chapter 3. Just encourage you to think about that as you read James sometimes. If you're looking for somewhere to read in the Scripture, go back and read James. Go through chapters 1 through 5. And again, when you get to about verse number 6 or 7 here in chapter 5, think about it and what you've read. And you'll realize that there was an introduction, there was a body of a letter, then conclusion. You can go through most of the books, and they're written in similar fashion. But in James, you can tell he really wraps everything up in a very few verses. I don't know if he'd have been a person that would have been not long-winded. He only gives us 5 chapters here. Of course, that's what the Lord, I'm sure, laid on his heart to pen down. I know that's the case. But you wonder if he just wrapped it all up for us in verses number 7 through 20. Because everything he talks about, chapters 1 through 4, and the love, and guarding our hearts, and establishing ourselves, and maturing, and patience, and love for one another, he wraps it all up right there. So that's all we've got this morning. Pray for the services today. And like I said, we've got a few announcements to make for the services. Pray for the pastor, and continue to remember the ones that was mentioned when Brother John was here. Thank you.